All right, you can turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and you can have it open there, because I'd like for you to have an open Bible and then put that sermon outline right in the middle of it. Man, the more I studied this week, the more excited I got about today's message. I am so thankful that you guys pray for me. Surely I need it. Tom needs it. We all need it. We'll see that today. So we're looking, we're several weeks in looking at what is the role of the church? What is the role of the Christian in this time of opportunity? It's a time of opportunity we've never seen in America. It's a time in which people are confused. There's all kinds of things going on. And listen to me, I'm convinced that the only way out is right here. I'm convinced. No other way out. The Word of God. Amen? So we have a real opportunity in the midst of this virus. In the midst of this upheaval in America, whether it's political or tribal upheaval. There's all kinds of upheaval in America. And I wonder what the next one's going to be. It's almost like we're dealing with a new one every day. But we have something that they don't have. If you're a Christian, all Christians have this in common, okay? We have Christ living in us. And it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what tribe they're in. It doesn't matter what language they speak. We can all come to the Lord's table. We can all come to the throne of grace. Only in and by the unity that we have in Christ. Now, if we're unified in Christ, we should also be unified with one another. And listen, the more we're in agreement about this, amen, the more unity that we'll have in Christ Jesus. So this morning, the title of my sermon is Engaging Insanity. It is crazy. I hear something new, crazy, every day. And it is so refreshing to get something or see something that there's some realness to it. Amen? I can tell you this is real. This is real. You need to be in it. Matter of fact, Romans 15:4 that says, through endurance, we're enduring and we are going on with the Lord, right? In the midst of this insanity. It says through endurance and the encouragement of the Word. What do we have? Hope. The world has no hope for us. Our hope is not in anything that has to do with this world. Our hope is only in Christ. Amen. So Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. He calls these in mind further instructions. So we've talked about a lot of things, and now he says, here's some further instructions as you get ready. Listen to me. As you get ready to do what God expects every one of us to do, engage the world, here's some final things you need to think about. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the Word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Verse 5, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the most use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. O Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would do with your word you would do with your message, you would do with your man for the moment, and you do with your people and this church what you see fit to do for your honor and glory as we live in a world that needs to be engaged. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So, what should we be doing? Acts 6:8. Good place to start, good place to finish. Amen. Act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Did I get something backwards? If Deanna doesn't give me a clue, Jeannie will. So, let me go back, okay? What does the Lord require of us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Did I get it right that time? To walk humbly? I'm sorry. Yeah. Thank y'all so much. Y'all got to let that slide. Everybody got it except me. Amen. So, Micah 6:8, that's a good place to start. So, look at Jeremiah 22:13 in your notes there. This is just a warning. For who? All of us. Amen. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his upper rooms by injustice, who makes his neighbor serving him for nothing and does not give him his wages. Listen to me. You know what's going to happen? Everybody that does this, there's going to be a day of what? Recompense. And don't look out there and get all stirred up about those people who are being unjust, because they're going to get their recompense. We've looked at unity that we have in Christ and the impact that it has on our lives in community. The family, the church, your workplace. There are people at your workplace. There are people out there in the world that you're united with through Christ and through His Word. We have seen that the only possible and real unity that can be achieved is the unity that we have in Christ Jesus. There's no other. In Colossians, we've seen what it looks like to be mature in Christ. That's really what we're talking about. So let's just kind of walk quickly through what we've looked at over the last couple of weeks. Look at verse 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Look, to mature in Christ, the first thing that's got to happen, are y'all ready? This is why it's so important that we examine ourselves to make sure this has happened. The first thing that's got to happen is that spiritually dead person who we all were must be brought to being alive, being born again spiritually. That must happen. Listen, and if it does happen, there will be some kind of radical change in your life. The next thing that's got to happen is, instead of looking down here all the time, come on now, we'll be looking up there. Because we have been raised in Christ. The Ephesians companion scripture says this. Not only have we been raised with Christ, y'all look at me, we have already positionally been seated where? In heaven. You know what? You're going to go where you're looking. Come on now. If all you're ever looking at is the things of this world, you're on the wrong path. You're headed in the wrong direction. That's why Sunday worship is so important. If no other time during the week that we should get off that wheel and take our eyes off the world, we ought to do it at least once a week on Sunday morning. Amen? Verse 5. So we need to be born again. We need to be saved. All right. Once we're saved, this is some of the things that are going to start happening. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put to death what? Sin. Where? In my life. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetous, which is idolatry. So once we're saved, an indication is that is we're going to hate sin. We're going to hate sin in our own lives, and we're going to be putting it away. Look at verse 8. We're still talking about putting away. But now you must put them all away. You want to stop all the craziness that's going on in the world today? How about look at this? Put away what? What's that first word? Anger, wrath, malice. You know what it is when you talk ugly about other people? It's slander. Listen, even if it's true, it's slander. Stop it. And obscene talk. Wow. A couple of weeks ago, I was at a worldly event. I need to get out in the world every now and then. I could not believe the language that just routinely flowed out of people's mouths. Put it away. Look at verses 12 and 13. All right. So we get saved. We get born again. We're now alive. We begin to look heavenly. We put off some things. Look at verse 12. Put what? Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Listen, once we got saved, once we put some stuff off, it's time to start putting on things that look like who? Christ. And then I'm gonna read a little bit of scripture here because it's so important. What will that look like? Bearing with one another, being gracious towards one another. Put on love which binds us together. Let the peace of Christ, look, during this all, is this insanity? Come on now, church. We ought to have a peace that they don't have. Look at verse 16. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen, if you have been born again, if you began to look heavenly, if you began to put off the old things and put on the new things, listen, you're going to become a person of God's Word. It's going to happen. That's part of the maturing process. Giving thanks, being a people of thanksgiving. You know, it's a good place to start every morning. Matter of fact, ACTS, that's a little acronym to teach us how to pray. Tell God that we love Him. That's the A, adoration. C, confess your sins. T, thanksgiving. You ought not to leave the house every morning without getting on your knees and thanking God for something. And let me tell you what the place to start is Christ and Him crucified. Then we got into that exciting stuff that all women in particular love to look at and all men ought to dread looking at. Come on now. Because most of us aren't doing our part like we ought to. Amen. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husband, love your wives. Oh, you children. You want to enjoy a long life? Make up your mind you're going to be obedient to your parents. It's pretty simple. You want to stop poverty in America? It's pretty simple. Get married and get a job. That's pretty simple. Children, if you want to live a long, good life and be blessed by God, make up your mind, obey your parents. And parents, when they don't, they ought to experience just a tad of God's wrath. Do you hear me? I got pretty quiet with that one. And then it gets into some real difficult stuff that's surely not for our culture today in the context that some of it may read. Verse 22, some of your translations may say slaves. Mine says bond servants. Obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Let me give you the context today. Whoever your boss is, respect them and speak highly of them. Even those that are jerks, You got no excuse as a Christian for slandering them. None. Then I'll wrap it up here pretty quickly. Verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily. Remember, as unto the Lord. Listen, you not only do you want to respect your boss, your employer, but you ought to be the best employee they got. You're talking about engaging the world. Go into the workplace and be the best employee they got. You'll be engaged in the world. Because you know most people show up for a paycheck. Y'all know. If you're out there working in the workplace, you know that. And look at verse 24. Now, he just got through talking to wives and husbands and children and to servants. See, in agrarian society, you may have had several families living in a family unit, right? So you had a patriarch, right? You had some guy that was kind of in charge. Well, in that unit, you also had people that lived in that unit that worked for or served the ones above them. It's always been that way. There was a head of the house, there was a wife, there was a husband, there were children, and then there were people that worked in that community. It's just the way it was. And look what it says in verse 4, 24. Don't get too focused on what's going on here. Look at verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive what? Your inheritance, your reward from who? From the Lord for how long? Is that not what it says? Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. What is your inheritance as a child of God? Everything that God's got in heaven. You going to get it now? We obviously know that. You know why we don't get it now? Most of us couldn't handle it. So that's a little bit of a recap, and probably the recap will be longer than the sermon. So let's go quickly through these verses, verse by verse. Look at verse 2. Continue steadfastly in what? What did I ask y'all to do last night in that text that I sent out? Read the scripture and pray for services. Well, listen, I'm claiming that I've seen in this church this morning that there were some people that prayed. I promise you, you want to change your house structure, you want to change the structure of the church, you want to change what the dynamics are. Pray, no, listen, read the scripture on Saturday night, pray for your preacher, pray for your church, and just watch what's happened in your family. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. One thing a whole about this prayer deal is part of it is to be thankful, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Luke 18:1 says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. How much scripture do we need to hear from God that we should be people of continual prayer? Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in what? Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit when? On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, praying for others, praying for yourself in all kinds of prayers. Now look at this next part. Being watchful in it. When are we being watchful? In our prayers, we are to be watchful. Now, why would we be watchful? Because we're living in a lost world. We're living in a world controlled by the evil one. We're actually living down here in his kingdom. So we need to be watchful. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and 18, I left it out. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Corinthians 6:13, men, I'd really like to make you stand. Men, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Act like men. And you see that first part of that verse? Be what? You know men who's supposed to be watching out for your family? You know them. You know men who's supposed to be watching out for this church? You men, we are. 1 Peter 5:18, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking someone to devour. Seeking someone to devour. James 1:27. Listen, we all know the first part of this verse. Now, this is true religion, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Look at the last part. Be watchful, people. Part of being watchful is this. Religion is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. And look at this next part. And to keep oneself unstained from the world. Listen to me. We all need to work on being watchful that the world is not staining us. Continuing how often in prayer? Well, I had a phone conversation yesterday morning. I needed to call a guy yesterday morning. I knew I needed to call a guy yesterday morning. I was in a hurry trying to get out of the house. I didn't call him. Praise God, he called me later on. And we prayed on the phone. And after that, I was prayerful all day about that phone call. Listen, we are to be constant in prayer. Constant in prayer. Verse 3. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the Word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. You know who he's talking, who is the pray also for us? Paul says, pray for me and Timothy and the other guys that are out there going to all these places sharing the gospel. Listen, Tom and I, the praise and worship team, Russ, Bob and Nella, Jeannie, all the teachers of the church. Listen, the Scripture not only teaches you, you must pray for them. We need your prayer. Ephesians 6:18b through 19. I love it. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Hey, look, you know what that scripture says? You know who you should be praying for? You ought to have a church roster. You ought to be praying for it over it every day. You ought to be calling people out. Those people you don't know, you don't even what they know to look, don't look, you don't even know what they look like. Shame on you. You ought to be praying over that roster. You ought to know people. We're not that big. Pray for us. Pray that God may open the door of the Word. So I'm back to the Ephesians scripture. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the people. And here's that companion verse again. Pray for me. Pray for Tom, that whenever we speak, words may be given us so that we will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Listen, this gospel is a mystery. This gospel needs to be presented clearly. We need your prayers. Matter of fact, if you'll look at the church membership agreement, one of your responsibilities is to pray for the leadership. Second Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the Word of God may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. I really believe, listen, when we began to be praying for the spread of the gospel, God's going to open up doors and we're going to see many people saved. We need your prayers. Listen, your prayers is what fuels what we're doing by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 16:9. For a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Matthew 13:11, he answered them, to you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them has not been given. Listen, men, Paul, others, we have been given the ability and the opportunity to explain the mysteries of heaven, the mystery of the gospel. We need prayer that we would do it correctly and boldly. 1 Corinthians 2:4. I prayed this before I came up here this morning. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Are y'all understanding what I'm telling you this morning? It's your responsibility that you pray for your leadership, for missionaries, for your elders, for your teachers. Listen, what it says there, that when they teach and preach, there would be a demonstration of the Spirit and what? Power. Are y'all here this morning? This is not rocket scientist stuff here. You know what prayer is? Hard work. And tell me what we are. Lazy people. We may have to lose some sleep. We may have to get up a little earlier. We may have to discipline ourselves. You know what? I'll just tell you this. It don't matter what it takes, become a person of constant prayer. And I pray, I tell you this, when we see our church get to the place that most of us are people of constant prayer, y'all see how big this building is? It may not hold them all. Because the gospel has got to go forth with the Spirit and what? Power. You know what generates that power? God's people praying for God to turn it loose. So this is what happens when the ministry is bathed in prayer. The Word goes forth in the Spirit and power. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for the advancement of the gospel. We need to pray for workers working to advance the gospel. Verse 5, walk. Now, this really gets down to today's message. This really gets to engaging insanity. Listen to me. Somebody tell me, y'all are living in the same world that I'm living in. There's some craziness going on out there. There is some upside down thinking going on out there. Huh? Look what it says. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Outsiders are people who are not a part of us, are not a part of God's kingdom, are outside the church and outside the unity and the realm of a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Outsiders. I tell people all the time, expect a Christian to act like a Christian and be hurt and disappointed when they don't. But don't act like lost people to act any other way than like lost people. Matthew 10:16. We need to be careful what outsiders... Listen, and I want to go back and be sure I get this. Look, the first thing that people on the outside of Christianity sees from you, that you are living radically different than the world and that you're living in accordance with God's Word. If you're not doing that, anything you might say to them is going to be really offensive. It may be offensive anyway. Matter of fact, it probably will be. But there's no use in adding fuel to the fire by being a bad employee or being a jerk at work and claiming Christianity and then talking to them about their sinfulness. Set the example. Listen, I promise you, whether you know it or not, a lost world is watching. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of who? So be what? Wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Listen, you are not wise if you're not in this Word. But you know what? Not being in this Word is no excuse for not going out there and engaging the world. Get in the Word. September the 9th, we're going to start back through Genesis. And there's no better place to be grounded to know what's going on in this world and to go out there and engage people other than the first 11 chapters of Genesis. It's a good time to really study God's Word. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 says, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Ephesians 5:15, look carefully then how you what? Walk, not as unwise, but as wise. 1 Timothy 6:4, he is puffed up with conceit, understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, and evil suspicions. Listen, you don't need to be people that do those kind of things. You need to be wise. Ephesians 5:16, 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you what? Walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time. Why? Because the days are. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without Christ. Walk in wisdom. We must manage our lives in such a way that Christianity not be maligned. We should give the lost world no excuse for speaking bad about Christianity. And you know what when we do? You know what we need to rush to do? Make it right with them. Apologize. Confess. Humble ourselves. Paul was wary in his reasoning with those who were not Christians. Be careful. And we need to be careful about how we engage these people. Matthew 7:6, you just got to understand what you're dealing with. Do not give to dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. You've got to know how and with what to engage the world. You've got to know who you're dealing with. Redeeming the time, knowing that the time we have left here to work is short. We don't know how short. And an extra effort to recover time by being gainfully employed spiritually in the time that remains. How do we make up for the lost time? Just do the best we can right now. Amen. Verse 6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. You know what the majority of your speech should be? And do not be ashamed of it. I'm telling you, September the 9th, you need to be resolved right now to study so much in Genesis that you know where it's at and you know how to turn to it and show it to folk. Let your speech always be gracious, bearing with one another, gracious. 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 17. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's Word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Listen to me. For some people that are being saved, they're going to love what you've got to say. Some others are going to hate it because it shows them their lostfulness and what they've got to expect. Ecclesiastes 10 and 12. The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. Be sure you're a wise man. Where's the beginning of knowledge? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 12:18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings what? Healing. Mark 9:50. This is speaking of seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. This is in that verse 6. Seasoned with salt. We need to be that what we are saying is the truth. And where do we find that truth? We find it in God's Word. Our lives need to be salt. It needs to look different than the world. Our speech should be seasoned with salt, the truth of God's Word. Salt preserves from being worse, more decayed than it is now. So, what is salt? Your life should be salt. Huh? Should your life not be different? Should it not be so different that it gives a little flavor to the situation? It gives a little flavor to your workplace. And shouldn't it be such that if there needs to be a little conviction brought, a little salt in the wound, it does that, just that. So salt is your life, the example you set, the deeds that you do, the truth of God's Word that you are. Listen to me. Do not be ashamed of God's Word. It is the most prophetic. It is the oldest writings that we have. It is God's holy Word. Do not be ashamed of it. So the last part of that verse says, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So how are you going to know how to answer each person? Is that a good question? We must be in Christ. We must be united to Christ through the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be united to the Christ by His Spirit and by His Word. We must be His. He must be in us. So we must be in Christ, in Him and us. We've got to be in His Word. To know how to wisely deal in this world, we've got to be in His Word. And saying all of that, in order to speak to someone, we've got to be willing to do so. We cannot be ashamed of God's Word. Shouldn't the conversation always be coming up in your daily conversation? They ought to know that you're going to speak truth out of God's Word. They shouldn't expect anything else. We must engage the lost world and speak the truth in love when given the opportunity. We've been silent way too long, have we not? Look what's happened in America. Hatred continues. The taking of innocent lives continues. Sexual immorality is rampant. The mutilation of the physical body because of someone's feelings that maybe God made a mistake in how He made them is happening in America. Don't you think? Well, how about prayer taken out of school? How far are we from this word being outlawed? Hate crime? You know what the real target of hate crime legislation is? It's exactly what it is. Our conversation with the lost must be thought out carefully. We should be willing to speak of, listen carefully, our own sinfulness and our need of a Savior. We should be able to speak of Christ as that Savior. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ like the Lord is holy. Look at this next part. Always being what? Prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Listen to me. Especially men. It takes discipline and hard work to mature in the Scripture. Most men have to overcome either not reading well or not liking to read. A mature man will know God's Word and what it says, what it particularly says about Christ, the gospel, and he'll be learning about how to lead his household. So we must be in Christ, in His Word, living by His Word, and willing to articulate His Word. We must engage the lost world and speak the truth in love when given the opportunity. So, in summarizing this morning, we are to be heavenly and other world focused. At least sometime every week, coming to that place. We are to be about mortifying sin and putting off the old man and all malice towards others. We're to be putting on the new man, God's Word, kindness, love, and doing good to others. We're to be the wives God has called. You're to be the wives God's called us to be in. The husband God has called us to be in. The children that God has called us to be. And look, out in the workplace, even me working for the Lord and working for this church, I need to be the worker that God's called me to be. We need to be people of prayer. People who are watchful. People of thanksgiving. People who pray for the gospel to be spread. People who walk wisely in the world and are gracious and forbearing and loving, yet truthful in speech. Let me tell you one thing. It's way time we got past this thinking that we want our kids and loved ones and friends just to be happy. Had a discussion this week in the world, and this was the discussion. People who are bent towards homosexuality in this world will not be happy in the opinions of this world unless they're acting out the way that they feel. Okay? In other words, the thinking in the world is these people ought to be able to be happy in this world. All right? But to be happy in this world and be living contrary to God's Word is setting us up for an eternity in which we will not be what? 10,000? Huh? 10,000 years? No. Just keep on going. But nobody's concerned about what? Eternity. They're concerned about the here and now. I want to tell you. Remember Lazarus and the rich man? There will be a day in which that person who live contrary to God's Word. Listen, I don't care if it's hatred. I don't care if it's slander. I don't care if it's heterosexual sins or homosexual sins or transgenderism or you name it. There will be a day in which we know that we should have repented. Hopefully it won't be too late. We need to be people of prayer. People who are watchful, people of thanksgiving, people who pray for the gospel to be spread, people who walk wisely in the world and are gracious and loving and truthful in our speech. Let me tell you, we need to get harnessed up. We need to get united with Christ. We need to get in the yoke with Christ. Amen? And then we need to get armored up. Because I want to tell you, there's a dangerous world out there that we're all going to have to go back into when we leave here. Amen? Lord, I pray that You would do with me, You would do with this message, You would do with these people what You see fit to do as we do our best to go into a place of insanity and worldliness and engage people in a manner that we might show them Christ. Lord, we love You, we praise You, and it's in Jesus' name that we do. Amen. Tom.